Welcome to Parents' Perspective. Kit Kitteridge smiled as she typed. It was a hot afternoon in August. Kit and her best friend Ruthie were in Kit's room writing a newspaper for Kit's dad. She knew there hadn't been much good news in the real newspapers for a long time. The whole country was in a mess because of the Depression. Kit was glad that her dad still had his job at his car dealership. She and Ruthie knew kids at school whose fathers had lost their jobs. Some kids had disappeared from school because their families didn't have enough money to pay the rent anymore, and they had to move. Kit marched outside to sit on the steps and wait for Dad to come home. Her older brother, Charlie, sat next to her. "Yesterday," he said, "Dad told me that he's closing down his car dealership and going out of business." "Charlie," she asked, "what's going to happen to us?" She decided to make a list of all the ways she could save the family some money. This has been an excerpt from the popular American Girl series of books for girls. From a parent's perspective, how can we empower our girls through literature? I'm Sandy Burt.
And I'm Linda Perlis. Our guest has written numerous books for young girls to read about young girls at different times in the history of our country. Valerie Tripp is the author of more than 30 books about nine of American Girl's historical characters, as well as poems, songs, stories, and nonfiction educational materials, especially for the Super Kids reading program. She has a 23-year-old daughter. Welcome to Parents Perspective, Valerie.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
In this age of female cabinet officers, Supreme Court justices, and CEOs of major companies, why do we still need to empower our daughters?
I think it's wonderful to have those women to inspire our daughters and those roles for our daughters to aspire to. But I think empowerment happens for a girl on a moment-to-moment, very personal, very immediate level. I think what we need to do is empower our daughters to remember that every day, right now, all the choices that they are making are very important choices. The girls need to be empowered to find their own unique passions and talents and abilities and hopes. So while it's wonderful to have these very famous and outstanding people for our girls to aspire to be, I think it's also important that we meet them right where they are right now and remind them that their choices and their abilities are also very, very important.
How can literature, which is a little bit removed, is a step removed from the daily life of a girl, help to support a stronger self-image for girls?
I think it does that in many ways. Initially, I think just the very act of reading is an interaction. It's an intimate activity. It's the girl and the book. And the girl brings her imagination to bear on the story, and she lifts that story right up off the page. So through reading, the girl is learning how she is a creative, imaginative person. So just the very act of reading is empowering her and showing her that she's entitled to her view and her interpretation of the world. And then, of course, the content of what she reads also can empower and instruct and delight and educate her as well. Literature allows her a vicarious experience. She will identify with that character, and she can imagine herself in that character's world. I had a wonderful letter from a little girl named Michaela, and she wrote to me about my character, Josefina, who lives in New Mexico in 1824. She said, "Dear Valerie Tripp, I imagine that I'm Josefina on a rancho with her papa. When I read an American Girl book, I think I can run away into a mystery. My bedroom would turn into a farm right in front of my eyes. All this happens because of your books. Oh, so the girls use that imagination muscle, and the more you use that muscle, the stronger it gets to be. So the content, of course, of what a child reads stretches her, and she can test it against her own experience and her own opinions. So often the girls will say to me, oh, I wish I lived when Felicity did, because I love horses and I love long dresses and I think it's so beautiful. She is transporting herself back in time and imagining what her life would have been like at that period of time. And I think that by doing that, we're reminding the child of all the limitless potential and possibilities there are out there for her.
It's interesting when you think about reading something, especially children whose minds are plastic and interested in so many things. Not only do you take part in what you're reading, but it exercises what you're talking about, the creative muscle, that you can take part in other people's lives around you. So it's almost like the empathy piece is coming out.
Absolutely. I think we're teaching empathy and compassion. We're teaching the idea that the universe is abundant and full of potential and possibility. And we're teaching the ability to sort of walk in somebody else's shoes as well. That's why I think for families, the idea of reading aloud, I know very often, for example, fathers are looking for a way they can interact with their daughters. And sports, that's wonderful. Sports are wonderful. But I also think if you read aloud together, then you have a shared vocabulary and then you have shared allusions. And you can so often, fathers will say to me, oh, you know, I had to go away on a business trip. And so I read the Molly books out loud to my daughter. And we talked about how her father was away, helping the soldiers during World War II, and how that was going to be our experience for a while. Or I get letters from little girls saying, you know, my father is in Baghdad. I know exactly how Molly feels because my father's away as well. The girls always impress me with the way they make connections to these characters. And I think through reading, you not only stretch yourself, but you can create a relationship with your family, too, that you might not have had before, because you can talk about these characters and their experiences. They can spark a conversation in your family as like a conversation starter because you've read a story together about somebody who lived a long time ago.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to continue our discussion on empowering girls through literature.
The popular book, Raising a Successful Child, Discover and Nurture Your Child's Talents, by Sandra Burt and Linda Perlis, is available at all major bookstores and on the web.
Welcome back to Parents' Perspective. We are talking with Valerie Tripp, author of a number of books for girls, about empowering girls through literature.
You've just touched on my question. I wanted to ask you to talk a little bit about how historical fiction can empower 21st century girls. What about the historical aspect of it?
What I try to do in the historical fiction that I write is start with the personality and the character of my girl who's going to read the book right now. And I know that that girl is curious. I know she's observant. I know she's energetic, and I really respect her. I start with where she is right now. And I'd like to create kind of a silky, satiny ribbon of connection between her and someone who lived long ago and often very far away. And that ribbon of connection is made up of what they have in common, school, family, friends, that sort of push-me-pull you between defining yourself as a unique individual, but seeing how you fit into the world and society at large as well. And the girls who read the books always impress me with the way they will make a connection with someone. For example, my character, Josefina, again, who lived on the Rancho in 1824, is living in a family that is in disharmony because the mother has died. And then an aunt comes to live with the family in more or less the role of a stepmother. I get many letters from little girls saying, like Josefina, I wasn't sure, is it okay for me to love my stepmother? You know, they all make a connection to the emotional content of the story. Josefina lived 200 years ago. but they can make a connection to the situation that she is in. So history and historical fiction allows you to not only have sort of a mental timeline, well, the Revolutionary War happened before the Civil War, it not only informs you and educates you about our common culture and what we have in common as Americans and how your family has a story as well. It also tells you, you know what? You are what American history is. You living right now. You better be observant and mindful. The choices you make are actually more important than these historical fictions characters' choices because you're a real person. You need to pay attention and realize how important you are as a contributor to the society we're all going to live in. So the history not only gives you information, it also allows you to see your own place and how you function in society right now.
I think one of the things that makes us all feel we belong is this historical piece where you feel like you're part of a continuum. And the immigrant story, which is so important to all of us, places us somewhere on a continuum that means we belong.
And also, it makes you realize, you sort of step back and think, wait a minute, my grandmother is exactly the same age as Molly, the one whose father was off in World War II. And I love it. I'll get letters from girls saying, Grandma took me to the attic, and she showed me Grandpa's uniform. She showed me letters that he had written. So the girls realize, whoa. Oh, my family has a story, too. We have a story of who first came to this country. We have a story of how the people made it through the Depression, like Kit and her family. I love to tell girls, Kit's story is my mother's story. Her father lost his job, so her family took boarders into the house so that they could pay the rent. My mother wanted to be a reporter. There was no money for her to go to college. And their eyes get wide thinking, my family has a story like that too. So historical fiction is that nice combination of the history and the fiction. At American Girl, we call that vitamins in the chocolate cake.
Now, this steps a little bit further afield, but how could fiction or biographies from other societies, other ethnicities, other places that aren't quite as connected to our Western society girls also be empowering?
Well, also, I think that that's a way of saying, look at this fabulous world. All that richness is part of the crazy quilt of the beauty of American life and culture that all of us live here together. Our children hear different languages and they realize how strong this diversity makes our community. So becoming familiar with different cultures and different times, I think, encourages girls to think there's a great big world out there that I can't wait to explore. And some of it is actually right next door. The person sitting right next to me in class may, in fact, have come recently from another country and have different customs and eat different food and have different holidays to celebrate. And so I think that, again, it's part of this stretching and this vicarious experience and also this experience of empathy and compassion and realizing different people react to things different ways because they have had different experiences. I think at base also I have to say that I think that it makes the girls very grateful to be Americans because they realize how there's no limit on the possibilities or potentials for them as girls in our culture.
If you could guide a girl's reading experiences from their picture book stages to the young adult stories, do you have some recommendations you might make?
My first recommendation is a healthy dose of nonfiction. I would suggest that you encourage your daughter to read about real women who lived long ago. So often when I visit schools and libraries, the mothers will come up to me and say, I used to love the biographies of Clara Barton and Florence Nightingale and Louisa May Alcott. So I think a healthy dose of nonfiction biographies about women who lived before can be very, very inspiring. There's a wonderful book called Our Eleanor about Eleanor Roosevelt by Candace Fleming, and it combines photographs, which are so intriguing. You can just walk right into those photographs of Eleanor Roosevelt in all the different stages of her life. And I think reading a book like that and looking at those photographs would be a wonderful way for a girl to start out. And then, of course, as she gets older, things like The Diary of Anne Frank, books about girls who've endured danger and hardship and had to turn to themselves for courage. I think books like that are really wonderful to read. I would encourage realistic fiction as well, funny books by Beverly Cleary or beautifully written books by E.B. White. I would suggest classic books like Heidi and Little Women, Anne of Green Gables, Pippi Longstocking. I think that turning to those books again makes a bond with you and your family because they are books that all of us should have in our brains and background. I would say maybe not so many potato chip books, so many books that are kind of just a waste of time. I would also suggest as the girl gets older, not so many books about dystopia and dysfunction, maybe not so many vampires, maybe more books that are positive fantasies that I think meet the girl's sense of joy and love and exuberance. I think we've gotten a little out of balance with books that we give, especially to our middle school age kids, that there's a little too much fantasy and that they think that Harry Potter's magic wand is the way to solve problems, where really I think the message we want to give them is, yes, problems are going to come. Yes, change is inevitable, but you have what you need. You have what you need to face those changes and to face those challenges. And it's not a magic wand. It's you, and it's inside you, and it's the character you're creating, your everyday character in the sense of integrity and who you are, your heart and your soul.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to finish our discussion on empowering girls through literature. Parents' Perspective needs you, your feedback, your opinions, and not least, your donations that help with the cost of producing this award-winning program.
Visit us online at www.parentsperspective.org and click on to Give Direct, I Give, or eBay at Mission Fish. Please help us continue to help you. Thank you.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. We're talking with Valerie Tripp, author of a number of books for girls about empowering girls through literature.
It also must empower girls to write their own stories, to write journals, to feel that what they're experiencing is worth writing down.
I say to the girls, you got to start now. I say to them, promise me starting today, this day that you have met, promise me you will tuck away in part of your heart or brain and memory everything that is happening to you right now. And if you do that, I promise you, your imagination will never let you down. And whether you grow up to be a set designer or a scriptwriter or an artist or a parent or a teacher or a lawyer, I promise you, nourishing that imagination, nourishing it by tucking away all of your memories, if you nourish it, it will never let you down. Girls write to me all the time. One girl named Chelsea wrote to me and she said, I hope someday I can become an author. It seems pretty easy, except not making up the stories, I bet.
How cute that is.
It's adorable.
Is there normally a difference in a girl's self-image between elementary school and adolescence? We've been hearing a lot about that. Are there different kinds of literature that would address these changes?
I think so. I think what happens when a girl hits adolescence and middle school, that happens at the same time. She's redefining herself because quite literally she's seeing a different reflection. She sees herself reflected differently in the eyes of her parents, her teachers, her friends, and in the mirror she sees a different reflection as well. And she's barraged with images that tell her, you know, what she should be. She should be skinny. And she should have perfect hair, and she should be interested in boys, and she should have perfect clothes. And maybe not. Maybe she knows in her heart none of that is true about her. And I think what we need to do is say to her, you are you and you are great. And don't let anyone bamboozle you. Don't let advertisements or magazines or movies or television shows say to you, no, 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 not the way you are, but the way we're telling you you should be. We want to bolster up that confidence. And one way to do that is to keep communication open, to keep it open with your child when she reaches that age of middle school on easygoing topics and then some of the more dicey topics as well. And you have to sort of put yourself in the right place to listen to her. And literature can help a lot with that. Again, because you'll have common allusions and you can make jokes about some book that you've read together. And that can ease you sometimes, I think, into more complicated situations. So yes, there's a difference and we need to be aware of it and ready for it and sympathetic toward it. I always would say to my daughter, if you think everyone's staring at you, you're right. They are, because you've changed and you've blossomed and you're not a little girl anymore. And you're aware of all the possibilities and diversity out there and everything. Things are different for you, and it's challenging.
When you were talking, I was thinking the best literature is the literature where you can choose to change as the character changes or choose to identify with different characters within a story. I was thinking of Little Women, which yes, to me was an amazing book, but I think also because you could choose to identify with different characters depending on when you read it.
Absolutely. I always say to the girls, you know, my books are just squiggles on a page. They are nothing until you read the story, you bring your opinion to bear on the story, and you say, I wouldn't have done it the way Kit did it. Or you say to yourself, I might not have been brave enough to do what Felicity did, but I'm enjoying the vicarious experience of doing what she did, so that you lift the story up off the page and you make it matter as a story by reading it and bringing your opinions to bear on it.
As the 21st century is unfurling, what needs do you see for girls' literature?
I would hope that what we would do would be treat our readers with respect, that we wouldn't try to pigeonhole them or brainwash them. I think that we need to respect the way they are in the world. And I would really hope that we would begin to see the difference between a healthy skepticism, an ability to teach our girls to be critical and to evaluate, but not sink over into cynicism. It seems to me that we're almost trying to instruct our children to be cynical, to be a little distrustful of some of the finer images that they see. And I think that that's wrongheaded. I think that as parents, it's laziness on our part to just say, oh, well, you know, that's just some kind of thing that marketers have put together and it's not really true and everybody's got clay feet. And I'm always very sorry to see cynicism taught way too young. So I would like to see 21st century literature give a very broad perspective and encourage the girl to step back and evaluate for herself, but from a non-cynical point of view. I always like to say to people, you know, if you're discouraged about the world, you just need to spend a day with me. Spend a day with me. You'll see that every little girl has her own aura. Every little girl has her own attitude towards the world. Some of them are quiet and some of them are cocky and some of them can't wait to tell you a story and others then will quietly hand you something. But they all know they've got something important to contribute and you have to be ready to receive that. And if you are, you just see how they embody potential and possibility. You can't help but be an optimistic person. And I would like to see more of that in 21st century literature.
Well, this has been obviously a very uplifting discussion.
Yes, it is.
It's very fun. And unfortunately, we're going to have to close in a minute. But before we do, what resources would you suggest for parents and other caring adults who want to follow up further on some points of our discussion?
This may sound a little odd, but I really think the richest and best resource for a parent who wants to follow up on what we're talking about is the girl herself. I would say that I would try to encourage parents to engage with their children. We talked a while ago about fathers reading aloud. I would say it's very age appropriate for your daughter to be exploring many different interests, and I'd say go for it, even if it's a transitory interest. My daughter played the violin for about 5 minutes, but you know, you want to say yes, try it out, because the things that don't last instruct you about yourself as much as the interests that do last forever and ever. So I would say to parents, your richest resource is right in front of you right now. You don't have to seek out outside information or opinions. Start by really engaging with your child, and you have to be present. You have to be present physically. You have to be present and ready emotionally. My husband and I laugh because something that happens as your child gets older is that they become more lively as the day goes on, and you become less lively as the day goes on. But you have to be ready. If your child feels like having a conversation, a really meaningful conversation at 11 o'clock at night or while you're driving through rush hour traffic, that's when you have to be ready to listen. So the richest resource, I think, is something that you already have. It's the relationship that you have with your child. She's right there in front of you.
The other thing that I was thinking about when you were talking was that things like photo albums or other things that have to do with women in our daughter's past might be helpful.
Yes, and that's so much fun for your daughter as well to realize, you know, your family is what American history is. She's what American history is, too. And you can make choices of activities and things that you can do with your child, too, to bring to life some of these things that she has read. You know, you can go to Valkill and see where Eleanor Roosevelt lived, or you can go to Concord and see where Louisa May Alcott lived, so that you're showing your child the whole life that surrounded these women from long ago or sometimes more recently as well.
Well, this has been a wonderful conversation, very exciting for us and we're sure our listeners. So Valerie Tripp, thank you so much for being with us today and helping us to understand how to empower our girls through literature.
Thank you. It was a pleasure to speak to you both.
Our gift for our first caller is an autographed copy of one of Valerie Tripp's books from the American Girls series. Just call us toll-free at 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address. That's 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address. Mention show number 480. Please spell anything that's not obvious and tell us, if you can, what station you're tuning into.
Visit our website, www.parentsperspective.org, where you can even listen to a show of your choice, or check us out at facebook.com/parentsperspective. This is Sandy Bird and Linda Perlis. We're glad you could share Parents Perspective. Today's program was made possible with generous support from you, our listeners. Thank you. Our sound engineer is Kent Hitchcock. Music for this program was composed and performed by Jonathan Burt.